Hello, welcome to your meditation practice, Open Heart Project and Open Heart Project Sangha. This meditation and talk is going out to everyone on the Open Heart Project mailing list, all 18,500 or so of you, and also to the Open Heart Project Sangha, all 500 plus of you. I wanted to send this particular message to everyone because I think it's particularly relevant. So just to set it up a little bit, if you're not in the Open Heart Project Sangha, which you are more than welcome to join, please come on over. But otherwise, we are investigating in 2020 something called Lojong practice or mind training slogans, of which there are 59. These are slogans that have been employed for, I think, over 1,000 years to train the mind to be more compassionate, clear, and powerful. They're quite extraordinary and they're quite simple at the same time. This week we are on slogans 20 and 21. We'll talk about both of them this week. And I think when I start to share a little bit about what they mean, you'll see why they're so relevant right now. While many of us are still self-quarantined, some people call it lockdown. I think that means you're in prison. So if you're in prison, I'm sorry for that. But if you're staying at home voluntarily or at the advice of your government officials, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I know some of you see the reason to that. Some of you do not. I'll just say, for what it's worth, as someone who lives in a densely populated urban area, it really matters. There is real reason to do this. However, I know people who are sick. I know people who have been hospitalized. I know people who have died from coronavirus. So just in case you're thinking, oh, that's happening to someone else far away, I hope it is. But there are many people for whom it is right here at home. There's a lot of conversation going on about this. Understandably, it's a time of uncertainty and isolation. Uncertainty plus isolation equals a mess, a bad scene. Human beings do not wear uncertainty and isolation well. It's understandable. However, we have to be strong and support each other. And I feel that these two slogans are particularly valuable in hopefully making us kinder to each other, which is the entire deal. So the first slogan that we're going to talk about this week is of the two witnesses, hold the principal one. Of the two witnesses, what are these two witnesses? Hold the principal one. How do you do that? Well, it sounds obscure and weird and like, what do you mean there's two witnesses in here? However, once you take a very quick look at it, you see, oh yeah, of course that makes total sense. So of the two witnesses, hold the principal one. Here, the principal one is the one who notices what's going on, and the second witness is the one who comments on it. So you may feel something beautiful, you may feel something horrible, I hope it's the former, you may feel something inscrutable. That's the principal witness. The secondary witness is the one who goes, oh, I like that, or I don't like that. Now, we all have likes and dislikes. This is not a suggestion to say just think everything's the same, because everything is not the same. However, if you want to find the voice within yourself that you can trust, the voice that you can rely on, the one that is seeing the most clearly, it is that principal witness. So the principal witness is not necessarily the part of you that is the biggest smarty pants. So you may have heard me say that when it comes to spiritual wisdom, Buddhist or otherwise, what I was taught and which I've come to see is absolutely true, is the most important part of the entire spiritual journey, please give me a drum roll, is to bring your own intelligence to the teachings, to mix your mind with what you are studying or practicing or learning about so that it makes sense to you. That admonition to rely on your own intelligence primarily, rather than what I say or what anyone says, is another way of saying of the two witnesses, how does it go? Of the two witnesses, hold the principal one. The principal one is you, your intelligence. You're the only one who knows you, really. You're the only one who's been with you from get-go. You're the only one who can understand how things land and what things mean within yourself. That's very important. And we come into the world with this sense of knowing, and it meets a tsunami of public opinion and conventional wisdom and advertising nonsense and other people's ideas about who you are and who you should be. And it's very hard to hold the principal witness, which is what you yourself know. I'm so not kidding about that. You are the authority. Your own wisdom is the teacher. So one way of experiencing what this actually means beyond the theoretical is when we're meditating. And if this is your first time meditating, welcome, and you'll see exactly what is meant when we do our practice. You're sitting there, the instruction, as you may well know, take a posture, let your attention rest on the breath. When your mind strays, or if your mind strays, because we like to leave room for the possibility that you're going to become enlightened right now and your mind will not stray. However, should your mind stray, what happens? You notice that. Something in you says, you're thinking. That's not meditating. Where does that voice that sees you and what your mind is doing come from? Because it seems to cut in through this blah, 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 what's for lunch? I don't like myself. I hate the world. I love the world. Whatever might be going on. At some point, something cuts in and it has a kind of cutting quality. It goes, wake up. You're thinking. That's the principal witness. That part of you that sees what is happening. That's a little bit different than the observer, but that's beyond the scope of this conversation to address what that might mean. Also, I don't really know. But I do feel confident that piece of you that is going, whoosh, look, that's the principal witness. The secondary witness is going, that you did a good job or you did a bad job. But the principal witness is just the one that turns on the light. Think about that. The second slogan, slogan number 21, that we want to investigate is both my favorite and also the one that kind of pisses me off the most. And that slogan is, always maintain only a joyful mind. I love it because, wow, okay, I'll try. Always maintain only a joyful mind. First of all, that statement says, that's even possible to do that. And the reason I don't like it is because it's like, I can't do that. There's a lot of crap going on in the world, and I am not joyful about it, my friends. You are not joyful about what you think is crap. That's cool. Always maintain only a joyful mind isn't saying don't be pissed off at crap, or don't have opinions, or don't think this is right and that is wrong. In fact, I invite you to have very clear principles. It's saying rather, whatever you feel, I'm delighted by that, I'm sickened by that. I could give you 10 examples of that right now. I'm kind of pissed off today. Cool. You could still maintain a joyful mind. How? You may be wondering. Through the extraordinary superpower that you possess. This is your primary superpower, if I may say. It is also my primary superpower. And if I had my superhero outfit on, it would have to have a big C, letter C on the front, that would stand for curiosity. Curiosity is your superpower. Curiosity is the gateway to what here is called joyful mind, which you could also call awake mind, engaged mind, interested mind, non-dead mind, non-frozen mind, non-solidified mind. This means that, and that means this. You're okay, you're not okay. You may be right on all those counts, but when we hold those things too tightly, the joyful mind tries to find another host. So always maintain only a joyful mind means When things go well, yay. Please feel into that. Become curious and interested and engaged and delighted by what it means to feel good. How fantastic. Feel it as deeply as possible. All the nuance, all the grain, all the manifestations. Don't hold back. And when things are shitty, doesn't mean, oh, yay, things are shitty. It means become curious about that too. What does that feel like? What is the nuance of that? Where is the grain? What is the texture? How did it happen? Where is it going? When we bring the mind of curiosity to whatever is happening, we're doing a number of things. Curiosity is my very favorite thing, by the way. First, we're letting go of any sense of, I know what's happening. Because you can't be curious and certain at the same time. Okay, that's interesting right there. So when your mind is curious and setting certainty aside, there's a sense of space. There's a sense of flexibility. There's a sense of movement. There's a sense of possibility. And those things are much more synonymous with joy than grim certainty. You may be absolutely right, by the way. I have things that I feel I am absolutely correct about. And P.S. I am. However, it's not quite what is meant by a joyful mind. A joyful mind is as vast as the sky. And like the sky, has no preference. Whatever passes through, clear blue, which it is today, thank you very much, wispy white, dark and heavy, the sky is like, I'm cool. Has no preference. A joyful mind, like the sky, can hold it all. And open, seeing where we are at this particular arc of the cycle, knowing that the cycling does not end, and somehow finding the courage and delight in what it means to let go into the ride. That's a joyful mind, I would say. Joyful mind in good things, much more fun. Joyful mind in painful things, still possible. So thank you for listening. I hope that you are getting some of the magic of the slogans. They're quite extraordinary and profound. And now let's practice together. We'll sit for 10 minutes. Begin your practice by feeling the sky above you. It's up there. And the earth below you. It's still down there, as far as of the making of this video. And feel your connection to both, solidly planted right here on earth, and something also aspiring up and connecting with something very spacious. Your legs are crossed loosely in front of you if you're seated on the floor. And if you're seated in a chair, please be assured that you are equally as spiritual as someone sitting on the floor. And let your feet be flat on the floor. And in all cases, the hands rest on the legs, unless you have a different kind of practice. But basically, hands rest on the legs, just above the knee. Sit up straight and let the front body soften, the belly, the chest, the throat. And let the shoulders relax. The chin is tucked a little bit, so it's parallel with the ground. And the mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose, meaning there's no breathing technique. And if you have a cold, breathe in some way that feels relaxed to you. Otherwise, breathing in and out through the nose. The eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, up to 6 feet or 1.5-ish meters or less, given the distance of your screen. So the gaze is cast down, but there's no sense of reaching out with the eyes. Rather, there's a sense of receiving through the eyes. So let the eyes be soft. Let your attention rest on the cycle of breath, meaning feel the breath. This is not the same as notice the breath, which implies a kind of stepping out and looking back. This is more a being with, feeling the gentle expansion on the inhale and the letting go on the exhale. Just feel the body breathe. The mind will continue to think thoughts because that's what it does. In most cases, that is the secondary witness, but the primary is still there too, sort of seeing. So there's no effort in stopping thought or changing thought. It doesn't matter. Thoughts will come and go. Most will without distracting you overly from your breath. However, if you notice that you become absorbed in thought to the point where you've forgotten about your breath, oh, there's the primary witness. Say to yourself silently, thinking. Let go. Come back to the breath and begin again, feeling the body breathe, riding the waves of breath. So this is our practice, and we'll sit together. Thank you so much for your practice. And thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together. Please be well. Be safe. May your loved ones be well and safe. And may your immune system kick ass.